Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air Tuesday following a big day of news here in Hattiesburg. Andrew Abbott on board today to talk to us about that. Great sports writer here locally. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of Southern Miss and, of course, the Eagle Hour. And we're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corp studio here in Hattiesburg. Glad you're with us this afternoon, and we're going to have Cole Cavallo, former tight end for the Golden Eagles, on the show later. But want to kick off today with Andrew Abbott. Andrew, I know that the interim coach had his first remarks before the media today, football practice. Before we get into this article, I want to go over with you that was published this morning by The Atlantic. The Athletic. Any news coming out of practice?
Nothing that we learned from Reed directly. Just looking at practice, though, it's pretty obvious the offensive line's banged up. No sign of Zach Conte. Didn't see Greg Nunnery, but I don't know what's going on with him. That's kind of the main story right now in terms of on the field. I mean, they were moving guys around on the offensive line a good bit.
Yeah. All right, I want to get to this article. This was published by The Athletic, pretty lengthy. I'm interested in going over a number of points here with you. And here's one that just jumps right out at you. The crux of the article is how good a coaching job is the Southern Miss job. And they start with recent history / tradition. They give the program a B. But listen to this stat, Andrew. In the past 12 years, Southern Miss has had 7 losing seasons. And when you consider that from 1935 through 2011, the program had 8 losing seasons, 18 consecutive winning seasons, of course, under Jeff Bauer, but 8 losing seasons from 1935 to 2011, 7 in the past 12 years. Where did things go wrong, Andrew?
I guess you have to point to when – You part ways with Jeff Bauer for not doing enough winning. You have the Ellis Johnson debacle, Larry Fedora kind of. Yes, he was a good coach, but it didn't help the athletic budget. And then after that, it just seemed things were kind of a domino effect in terms of finances that they just couldn't get together. I think at one point you had 5 athletic directors in one decade, which is never a good sign of stability. It's just been a variety of things and a lot of self-inflicted wounds as a university and as an athletic department. But having said all that, I do feel like Jeremy McClain has at least begun to finally stabilize things for them.
Right. Right. I think that's a really good point. All right. The article goes on to say the on-field outlook for an incoming coach is a C-. Pointing out that Southern Miss had no returning first or second string all-conference players and none on the 2024 preseason team. That's the opposite of what we've been hearing about how well they've recruited. According to this writer, the talent is below average. You would agree or disagree?
I guess the product on the field would back that up. Their 3rd 1-6 start in the last 4 years. But I do think part of the frustration with this team is that you do in some areas see the talent, which is why the underperforming is like I said frustrating. So I do think there's spots and there's players that they definitely want to keep, especially those freshmen and sophomores. That those were the two recruiting classes Will had harped on a lot, and we've seen it. For example, Chris Jones, Reed Jesselowski, we've seen some promising particularly freshmen, come in. So there are names that you don't want to lose if you're a coach coming in.
Listen to this one. $824,000 is what Will Hall was making, which, according to this article, had him ninth in the Sun Belt. They say the next coach will be in the million-dollar window, but here's what jumped out at me. It said, it's hard, almost impossible, to land a Power 4 coordinator in that financial range. That's how much the money disparity now exists, correct?
Yeah, so to go back to the ninth ranking, I think there's only like a $1,000 difference between Arkansas State and South Alabama. I had basically written they were tied for sixth, so it's a genuine middle of the pack of the conference. So in my mind, that's a little deceiving. But, that's true. I mean, most coordinators at the Power Four level are making $1 million plus. I think the days of, Power Four coordinators coming down to try and get their first FBS job to Group of Five schools is slowly going away. And we've particularly seen that in the NIL era. So, that's kind of the new stigma, so to speak. And as we saw last year, we've seen a lot of Group of Five coaches part ways with being a head coach just so they don't have to deal with deal with NIL.
Yeah. Andrew Abbedy, the article that Bob is referring to, as he just mentioned, graded the Southern Miss job as a C-. Yesterday, I think in a direct response to one of your questions, athletic director Jeremy McClain said this is not a job that he's going to have to, quote-unquote, pitch.
Well, let me say now, they rate the talent on the team as a C-.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
Go ahead, Andrew.
But he thinks that this is a real, desirable job. And of course, if you're going to sell anything, you have to believe in it. But what's your reaction?
I was a little surprised by the remark from Jeremy, but you have to have that kind of confidence in your job, which is what I would think potential coaches would want to see from their administrators. However, Jeremy did say that the phone has already started ringing, and I can genuinely say that's true. I do know that there are coaches that have shown interest in the job already. There is truth to what Jeremy was saying. I do think there are desirable things about Southern Miss as a whole, as just the job in general. There's the tradition, there's the fan base, you're in a ideal recruiting area. Yeah, you got recruiting battles, but there is plenty of talent between Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. I do think there are a lot of things that are desirable. I do think you could see the next head coach make a little bit more than what Will is making. Will got the $24,000 pay bump after the Lending Tree Bowl victory. So, I think the next coach is going to need to make $1 million to say the least.
All right, they have a number of quote unquote prospective coaches that, if you can stick around, I'd like to go over with you in the next segment. But before we get to that, you've had 24 hours to digest all of this. What were your thoughts today when you went to practice and we're a day away from this? Was there anything about the timing that surprised you? Anything about what happened yesterday that came as a surprise to you, Andrew?
Yeah, I thought the timing would have been probably next week rather than this week. But, Jeremy made, he made points of defending it for himself, of saying we wanted to see what, the direction of the season be finalized, which I understand. I do think, if you notice, it was a very quick response, but I asked because, the big worry about all this is, okay, you pay a buyout, how does this financially impact the athletic department? And he mentioned they had secured the funds to where it's not going to impact them, which tells me somebody has been willing, he's been able to get some sort of financial backing. And as he said yesterday, that they secured the buyout basically, which is part, in my mind, partly why they made the move when they did. They were gonna have to make the move before the season ended, just because of the transfer portal opening and the early signing period. I mean, you're going to have a new team by mid-December. I mean, that's the bottom line, and you have to have somebody in place. So, yeah, if they were going to make the decision that the writing on the wall was for, it was going to have to be either this week or next week.
Of course, that a new coach might bring some of those new players with him.
Theoretically, you know, if you go the coordinator route, that might not be as easy. But if you go the FCS head coaching route, then yeah, you'd think so.
And, you know, in the old days, they had to keep adding a year onto the coach's contract, whoever it was, because they'd say, well, we have to let recruits know that there's going to be stability in the program. But I would suggest now to the legislature, whoever kept adding those years, you don't have to do that to coaches' contracts anymore, because through the transfer portal, players aren't committed to staying one way or the other. So you don't have to worry about saying, well, it'll help solidify our recruits if they know our coach is going to be here. Because I got news for you. They're not staying if they don't like it anyway.
Right. All right, Andrew, if you can hang on, they got another segment you can do with us.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, we're going to go over, according to The Athletic, coaches on the radar. Get Andrew Abbedy's opinion of those names and any that he might have. I want to remind you quickly about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it daily. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
But, Bob, no Larry Fedora or Todd Monken on that list?
No, much to the disappointment of the internet coaches. those two guys are not appearing on that list. But I did hear an interesting one. One believes that they should go after Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. He needs the money.
Yeah, another $74 million.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our program, campusbookmart.net, where you get all your Southern Miss apparel, where you get to visit with Miss Kathleen, and all sort of great Christmas gift ideas there as well. Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. All right, I want to get right back to it. Before we get to these perspective, quote-unquote, perspective coaches from The Athletic, I trust your judgment a lot more. I want to hear your coaching list, Andrew, as of this morning, perspective possibilities.
Well, you know, let's say the first thing. As this season drags on, we could see more candidates, come to light. That goes without saying, but, you know, we could see Power 5 or Power 4 coaches getting canned, and, you know, they could easily be in the mix for this job too. I won't say where specifically, but you know, that's always a possibility.
Right.
But you know, I think the two guys at the top of my list, I think Brennan Marion, the OC at UNLV, would be a very good fit here. He currently coaches with Akeem Davis, former Southern Miss great, coached at USM for a couple seasons. He's a hot name that's on the rise. Do they go back to the group of five OC route? You know, we'll see. It didn't pan out last time, but I do think he's a coach that, you know, could have a big boy job very quickly. I know a lot of people have said they want somebody to come in and do their 3-4 years of serious winning, and take their next job, the stepping stone, so to speak. He checks a lot of boxes. I think another name to maybe be on the wish list would be Bill Clark, who said he's ready to come back and coach. You know, he turned things around at UAB. Whether they have the money or not to pay him is a little differently. He was making as much as 1.6 at UAB. The other thing to consider, he never had to deal with the NIL era either while he was at UAB. So something else to kind of think about with him. But, mm-hmm. That's a proven winner at this level. Those are probably like at the top of, I guess, what would be my list. But like I said, they could go. I think if you went and got an FCS coach who was having success right now, that's kind of been the formula in college football lately with right. going in, snagging a head coach. He brings his staff and some of his top yeah. players.
Bill Clark was one of the names on the Athletic article. And as I recall, Andrew, I think he was the National Coach of the Year a few years back at UAB.
Yeah, you know, won UAB a pair of conference titles after they shut the program down. So right. I think Impressive. He was deserving of it.
Yeah. All right, here are a couple other names. Here's one that I found interesting. This is going to be a familiar name to Southern Miss fans, Miami offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson.
You know, I remember Dawson, and, you know, he's a very candid guy. I liked him a lot, but he never struck me as somebody who ever wanted to be a head coach, if that makes sense. I think he's happy running, being an OC, and he's making way more money at Miami than he will be as a head coach at Southern.
Isn't that something?
And to be quite candid, the fans were, I would generally say, Andrew, we're not real fond of him either. You know, the king of the bubble yeah. screen and things like that, that people got a little bit tired. But you can't make chicken salad out of chicken scratch. And he just said that he ran the offense with the ability the players had, you know.
Yeah, and I do think that was a little bit of, you know, Hobson was known to come in and tweak the offense, which is something the assistants did not like. That's kind of been a known thing, at least in my time here. That was something he dealt with, as well as their next coordinator, Matt Kubik. So, you know, I do know that was maybe a little bit something to do with it. But, you know, Shannon Dawson bounced back at Houston, and, you know, he's having a pretty good career right now in Miami.
All right, here's another former Southern Miss coach, Georgia Tech offensive coordinator Buster Faulkner.
Yeah, I don't know about it. I mean, maybe, you know, Georgia Tech has been up and down the last few years. I just don't think you go for, like, unless you got a former coach that's now a head coach, had Scotty Walden been super successful at Austin Peay and had not been an interim, I would say, yeah, sure. But, you know, I just don't see a Power Four coach as an OC or DC coming in and taking less money.
Yeah. Here's a third Southern Miss name that people are going to remember that's on the list of the Athletic, and that is Auburn offensive coordinator Derek Nix.
Yeah, I think he was kind of in the mix the last time, or at least fans wanted him in the mix. You know, he's had a proven record as an OC, although he's been struggling at Auburn. You know, they're averaging, I think if you take out their 73-point win against Alabama, A&M, or whoever that was, I think they're only averaging 20 points per game. I mean, Hugh Freeze's seat's getting very, very hot at Auburn, too. So, you know, that's something I don't know how that would impact Derek Nix's potential to get the job here. You also have to wonder, if Hugh Freeze gets fired, does he try and find a new version of Liberty at his alma mater?
Right. Well, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Another name that I want to throw out there is Ron Roberts, who is a co-defensive coordinator, I think.
We get to that, let me finish this.
All right.
Another Southern Miss name on this list, Alabama defensive coordinator Kane Womack.
You know, I think if he wanted the job the last go-around, he would have gotten it.
Interesting.
Or pushed for it more. But, you know, again, he left South Alabama. He's making way more money at Alabama. And, you know, I think he's going to be there for a few years, too, at least, even though, you know, the Tide are still good. They may not be Nick Saban good, but they're still a very good program for year one. I don't see him going anywhere.
All right. Now, here's another Mississippi connection, a former Ole Miss coach and coach at East Mississippi Community College, Alabama defensive line assistant head coach Freddie Roach. But you got to believe that the assistant head coach at Alabama is making way more than $1 million a year, right?
I would say most assistant coaches that of some sort of higher type level are making at least $1 million at Alabama. But, you know, I think the theme of this list is somebody who has some sort of tie to Southern Miss. And, you know, Jeremy was that, I think, by Kelly, where does somebody having ties to the region and Southern Miss rank? And he's like, it's on the list, but it's not at the top. Whereas last go around, as well as for most of his coaching hires, that's been one of the main top priorities. So, you know, I do think you could see somebody who is a complete outsider that we're not even thinking of right now. Brendan Marion checks those boxes, by the way. But, you know, I do think, you know, somebody outside or somebody at FCS coaching level is going to be probably at the higher or at the top of the list.
All right, here are two current head coaches, and then I'll let Kelly get his guy in here. Chattanooga coach Rusty Wright and Western Carolina coach Kerwin Bell.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think either one's possible. I threw on Central Arkansas as head coach. You know, although he's been a Central Arkansas lifer, for some reason, his Wikipedia page says he was born in Hattiesburg. I couldn't find anywhere to authenticate it. But for context, I went in my coaching list. I listed everybody's salaries for the purpose of getting an idea of what the price range would be for some of these guys. But, you know, the Central Arkansas coach makes $225,000. At least that's what it listed on their budget. So, you know, that's. It's a pay upgrade to take a job at Southern Miss.
Right.
Yeah, Ron Roberts was the guy that I was going to mention. He was in the mix in the last conversation with Will when Will Hall eventually got the job. Ron Roberts at Florida. Now there could be some shakeups on that Florida staff, and Ron Roberts has some connections with, you know, with Jeremy McClain. So if he was a candidate last time, you know, it stands to reason that he could potentially be a candidate this time. As well. And speaking of Florida, Andrew, if Billy Napier were to be, although Florida is playing better, we need to note that Florida is playing better. But what about Billy Napier if he's let go?
I don't think he's there anymore. Hasn't he been fired, Andrew?
No, Billy Napier's still there.
Not yet?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. For the record, Billy Napier's full name is William Hall Napier.
So, uh-oh. Okay, well, forget that.
What you will.
No, I'm kidding.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, if he was let go, possibly, I will know one thing. Like, yeah, you could see Power 4 coaches getting fired and being an immediate candidate for this list, but those guys tend to take a year off. So, you know, that could play a role into it, depending on how quickly they're fired. You know, Neil Brown's another guy I think that is people should watch for at West Virginia. He had Troy rolling before he took the West Virginia job. And, you know, he had a good season last year with 9 wins, but he's kind of, you know, it's been a lot of 5 and 6 wins at West Virginia for him. And that's not something the Mountaineers really like. So you could see him come back to the Sun Belt as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, and both of them have proven track records in the Sun Belt. You mentioned Neil Brown at
West Virginia.
Well, he's at West Virginia now, but was at
Troy
before, and then Billy Napier, of course, was at Louisiana in Conference USA. So,
all right, Andrew. Well, we appreciate it, man. There'll be a lot of speculation taking place. If you don't believe me, just get on the internet over the next few weeks, and we'll try to get you back on the show next week if you're available.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I eagerly await to see what Eagle Post cooks up.
I live for it. Yes, I live for it. All right, Andrew, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
It's cheap.
All right, guys. Take care.
Cheap, inexpensive entertainment, and generally, Bob, you get what you pay for, right?
Oh, baby. Jimbo Fisher was one I heard today.
Yeah, how about that?
Calls are out to Larry Fedora, too. I've tried to tell him what he told us. No interest in coaching.
Yeah, he was out on the deck overlooking Destin, right?
Yeah, he's really interested in NIL deals. We'll be right back.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back to the Eagle Hour. I want to thank Andrew Abbey for an extended interview with us. I'm throwing my favorite name in the hat since everybody's Joe Gibbs, 3-time Super Bowl champion, proven winner.
Bob, he's got to be 90.
He's 3-bowl Super Bowl champion. He's won 3 times as many Super Bowls as the Cincinnati Bengals, and they have a young coach, Kelly.
Okay, yeah, you had to stick that in there, didn't you? Yeah.
Colt Cavallo would be the next coach. He's a former tight end with the Golden Eagles out of Slidell, Louisiana, and having some fun with Cole off the air. Had that long hair, and I told him the women around me thought Cole was
the shiz,
was the heartthrob of the Golden Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you've heard that before, huh, Cole?
Mainly from you and my girlfriend. But other than that, I mean, you know, not much around town.
Me and your girlfriend, huh? Okay.
That about covers the spectrum, you know.
Cole, it's great to have you back on the show. We really, in all seriousness, really enjoyed watching you play. You were just a great player for the Golden Eagles. You played for Will Hall, Cole, so I guess the first and obvious question would be to get your reaction to the news yesterday.
I mean, I can't say I was shocked. I mean, it's a production-based industry, and, you know, I talked to you about that yesterday, and Coach Hall knows that. I mean, it's not like he was, you know, obviously not trying to lose. He put so many hours in. I mean, I think his first or second year, he wound up losing like 20 pounds just from not eating because he was so stressed out, and he was up there so long watching film and breaking down film. And so it definitely wasn't a lack of effort from him and the coaching staff. I could definitely tell you that. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, things in life just don't work out how you plan them to be. I mean, Coach Hall is a great person. I will literally do anything for him. I mean, I was kind of shocked, but not shocked at the same time. Obviously, you need to get a jump on recruiting if, you know, you are going to wind up firing your head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a positive there. A negative, I mean, during COVID, obviously, we had the 15 different interim head coaches going on there. So, I mean, that's kind of a negative for the players that are there right now, which Coach Stringer is going to take great care of them, obviously. He's been there for a while, so he knows the ins and outs of how to do things.
Cole, I asked.
Yeah, I mean,
I asked Jeremy McClain yesterday, the athletic director, you know, with Will Hall checking all the right boxes when he was hired, can anybody put their finger on as to why this didn't work?
Well, I'm going to interject there because I was about to ask him this. Is, as a tight end, do you think part of the problem has been the lack of a quote-unquote starting quarterback, Cole?
I mean, just – it's hard to put your finger. I mean, there's a list of, you know, a laundry list of things that, you know, it could be. You know, execution was definitely not our biggest strong suit while I was there. You know, there'll be receivers or tight ends running wide open across the field, and, you know, an O-line will miss an assignment. We'll miss a blitz pickup or, you know, something like that. I mean, the quarterback play, it has been a thing for the fans to, you know, put the finger on that. And ever since I've been a fan, I've seen more and more of people talking about how the O-line, this and that. I just think it's, you know, not having a consistent presence at quarterback. I know everyone wants to just jump ship immediately as soon as a quarterback doesn't, you know, have a good game or a good stretch of games. But, I mean, that's how quarterbacks develop. I mean, you know, as a true freshman, Wilkie came in, and, I mean, obviously he didn't do the best, but he wasn't awful. I mean, but that's how you develop. You just get the reps, and you even see in the NFL, like, sometimes first-round draft picks, they go into the league, and they just completely, you know, crap the bed because, you know, they didn't really learn behind a seasoned vet, or, you know, things just don't work out with O-line or skill position. But, I mean, there's not one thing you can really put your finger on to say this is why it failed. Sometimes, you know, things in life just don't work out.
You're right about that. Cole Cavallo is with us, the former Southern Miss tight end who was a member of this Golden Eagle team last year, was a Golden Eagle representative at Sunbelt Media Day last year. He's now working in the private sector in the banking industry. Cole, one of the things, it's a tough time for Southern Miss football in particular right at this very moment, and without mentioning specific names, some of your teammates have taken to social media and have published their opinions, mostly bad, about some of the things that they experienced or things that they think were wrong, and you have an issue with that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you don't just, you know, leave the program and just start, you know, belittling your prior coaches. Just, you know, some things that you don't even know about. They're just, you know, rumors or, you know, this and that. Or you just, it's just a, you know, a code that you have. You don't leave the program and just, you know, start talking bad about the program that you were there for, you know, 4 or 5 years. I'm not going to say who it was, but they went on to the top talk with Bump and them, which, man, I love Bump and everything they do.
Bump is
over at To the Top Talk.
Yeah, Bump is Jason Bailey.
Yep.
Yeah.
I listen to them every week after the game. And actually, Strahd Ruff went on there, and he spoke very, very well from, you know, what I listened to. He spoke a lot of facts about, you know, how things are from whenever he was there at Hop and how things are now. But others, yeah, I mean, just things that shouldn't be said, you know, three-fourths of them really aren't true. Whenever Coach Hall gave up the play-calling duties, what was it, 1 or 2 years ago, he did not have his hand in things. It was solely the OC or the co-OC that we had, and they were bouncing back and forth information, obviously, to get the right plays and stuff in. I mean, Coach Hall was still the head coach.
You know,
he still had his hand in some things, but every single play, that's the furthest from the truth. You know, Coach Hall was definitely down for – he literally tried everything. I mean, it's not a lack of effort from trying different things. You know, he hired a whole bunch of new assistant coaches. He hired an OC, how everyone was saying he needed to hire an OC. I believe he did everything in his power to try and win here. It just, you know, it didn't work out. But, yeah, former players coming out and speaking bad on the coaching staff and this and that, you know, trying to make it seem that they're worse than they are. I mean, it angered me.
Actually, for the record, Coach Hall helped you get this job that you have, yes?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, Coach Hall's a great player. He will do anything for his players and his former players. I sent him a text yesterday morning, just tell him how good of a person he is. And, you know, I really appreciate him for, you know, doing everything he's done for me. If he ever needs anything in the future, you know, he can always reach out to me. But, yeah, I'd do anything for Coach Hall. I'd give him my shirt off my back. So he's a great person, you know. So, yeah, he got me this job, you know.
Yeah, well, good.
So I'm forever grateful. Good. Forever grateful to him. So.
Yeah, I think he hit it on the head, Bob. Sometimes the best plans, it just doesn't work just for
doesn't
whatever
work.
Reason.
Doesn't work. Cole, moving forward, let me take a step back. You've been here since 2019. You played 13 games. You're 18. You played in 13 games your redshirt freshman year. So you were on the field a lot, and you were a big, big member of the football team. So how tough is this for players? I mean, moving forward now, you've got a guy that you know is the interim coach. He's not going to be the head coach. You don't have any idea who the head coach is going to be. How does that affect the psyche of a player, Cole?
Well, it could go one or two ways. You know, they could either band together or, on the flip side, they could separate, you know, just start playing for themselves, you know, for future stats. Obviously, with the transfer portal these days, with the uncertainty there, I think they're going to want to band together. Because, I mean, honestly, the COVID year, whenever we had those 4 or 5 interim head coaches or whatever, however many it was, that was probably one of my favorite years. Because people went to the portal. Obviously, they weren't, you know, down the ride for the team. But everyone that stuck around, you know that they were there for all the right reasons. So I think within the next week or two, if people want to transfer out, you'll see people's true intentions and true colors. So I believe they're going to want to banding together. And hopefully they can, you know, finish the season strong.
You never did that. You were one of those rare ones we had a basketball player here the other day, and she's the same way, Malia Grayson. I gather you just weren't into that. You were committed to the program you signed with, Cole.
Yeah, coming out of high school, I didn't really have many opportunities. I was obviously a huge Brett Favre fan growing up, and then I know a lot of people heard about my story about driving up through Hattiesburg whenever I was evacuating for Katrina. And I wanted to go to USM. So I actually had my head coach at the time, who had a connection with Shannon Dawson. He reached out to him and was like, hey, like, I got this kid that really wants to play for y'all, this and that. So I came to Hattiesburg, and Coach Hop didn't even know who I was. It was only Shannon Dawson who knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was, you know, all I needed was one opportunity, which these days that's how, you know, a lot of people are. They just need their one opportunity to show, like, what they can do. And once you get that opportunity, you're forever grateful for, you know, them giving you an opportunity. And I'm a very loyal person, so that's another reason why.
Well,
so that's why I stuck around, and
Well, let me tell you, that's a good trait to have, and that'll carry you well the rest of your life. Cole Cavallo, we appreciate you being on the Eagle Hour, man. Thanks, and best of luck in your new banking career, my man.
Yeah, and Cole, when is your calendar coming out? The girls want to know when your calendar, the Cole Cavallo calendar.
I need to set up a photo shoot. There we go.
Cole, thanks, man. Cole Cavallo, everybody.
Appreciate
you. Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks to Cole Cavallo for joining us in the third segment. Andrew Abbey, of course, in the first half of the program. Good show today. We really appreciate the input of those guys. Hey, reminded you yesterday, and you're going to be hearing about them every day. It's a brand new company, Mississippi owned and operated, Inda Bay Spring Water Company. Natural spring water, premium water with unmatched purity. Nothing is stripped out. Nothing is added. Freshness you can taste. Bottles won't collapse, but your thirst will, is what they say. You can find the new Inda Bay Springs water available at corner markets. Excuse me. And certain Walmarts, you can give them a try. You'll deserve Inda Bay Springs water. We think you'll like it. Also, I want to say hello to our good friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the rock, where you get a great lunch every day of the week. And our good buddies at D-Bat on Hardy Street, where you can take your children for baseball, softball training. And you can meet a former great Southern Miss baseball player, Luke Reynolds, who's the manager there. And speaking of baseball, tomorrow we're going to have a fall ball update. The Oz is going to be on the show, the Wizard of Oz. Coach Christian Ostrander joining us tomorrow, Kelly, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
The fall season is finishing up. They'll probably have a little black and gold World Series or something like that, like they usually do, but he'll be with us tomorrow. A little bit about a lot of things now about some other Southern Miss sports. Women's golf, they are right now tied with Wisconsin for 15th, and they are playing in the current tournament. And it's the tournament is actually Vanderbilt is leading the way, 10 under par. Mississippi State and Florida are right behind them, the only other teams to shoot under par. And the Ally tournament, as it's known, is being played again today. The women on the team include sophomore Regina Nivette. She led the way with a 4 under par 68. Now that is shooting some pretty good golf. Taylor Tribble fired a 4 over 70. Four, Alina Melich, J.C. Fields, and Louise Hivers all shot 7 over 79s. And Momoka Ando, who has been on this program before, not one of her best rounds. She shot 9 over 81. So, again, they are in 15th on the leaderboard. Vanderbilt leading the way in that tournament. Men's basketball begins the season tonight. It's an exhibition game officially, but they will travel to Lakefront Arena to take on the UNO Privateers. There will be no ESPN Plus coverage of this game because it is an exhibition game. However, the Golden Eagle Radio Network will be broadcasting the game starting tonight at 7 o'clock. And we've talked about this before, Bob, how basketball season just seems to start earlier and earlier and earlier. So it is an exhibition game against the Privateers. The Privateers have a new coaching staff in there this year, so it'll be a chance for that young team to see how they'll match up against this Golden Eagle squad. And a lot of social things going on with the Southern Miss basketball team. If you follow them on social media, they've got a social gathering coming up next week at one of the local taverns and eateries. You'll be able to meet some of the players, get some schedules signed, and a chance to get in on the collective and some other things that you'll find interesting, I think, as the basketball season officially gets underway with their first game against the UNO Privateers tonight at 7.
Always a request for what?
Money.
Money. Money. Yeah. Never enough. Got to have money. Money, money, money,
well,
money.
Well, it was interesting. I was, harking back to the interview earlier today with Andrew Abbey, and I think we kind of talked about, you know, Bill Clark wanting to get back into coaching, the former UAB coach. And, you know, you kind of get thinking, well, would he work for $1 million? You know,
I will.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of feel like J.D. Vance. Do you hear yourself?
Isn't that crazy?
Will you
to coach football? I mean, you're not asking him to build rockets or anything like that. You're asking him to coach a football team.
Yeah, gee, if we give you $1 million, would you coach?
Should you just consider
make the sacrifice of working for $1 million a year?
That's a nice monthly paycheck.
In Hattiesburg, it's a really good paycheck.
Yeah.
But it is interesting how the landscape has changed now to where $1 million is a pay cut to a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just is where we are.
He was at UAB making more than $1 million.
$1.6 million, and that's what Andrew was saying. If he was making $1.6 million at UAB. But again, sometimes how badly do you want to get back in? Right? Here's an opportunity if that's the case.
I heard that over the weekend about Coach O, that he supposedly wants back in. He doesn't need the money. He's got plenty of money. Remember, he told him, just show me what door you want me to leave when you write me that big check.
Well, that was after the translator got a hold of the transcript, wasn't it?
He left. He said something referencing the Tigers, but it wouldn't go.
Yeah, I think it was go somewhere. Go somewhere, Tigers, but I don't think it was go.
I'm going to the ocean with my money.
Yeah. Do you think he could ever say go Eagles?
I think he could.
You know, Northwestern State graduate. He was a demon back in the day.
That would be of interest to me. I didn't see him on any of the lists, though, so I guess.
No, and he actually recruited the Hattiesburg area when he was at LSU the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, of course, was the head coach at Ole Miss for a while. So, I mean, if you want to talk somebody, I mean, I know that's.
Could Southern Miss ever land a national championship coach? I don't know.
But if you talk to some of the fan base, Bob, we're what's wrong with some of that. When we think, could we ever? Yes. The attitude has to be, yes, we will can.
Well, those of you with those positive attitudes, stroke a check because they're going to need a lot of.
Make sure it clears. But yeah.
Right. All right. We're going to have a good time tomorrow. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk volleyball. Jenny Hazelwood on the show. Coach Christian Ostrander on the show.
What about, I heard Al Holder maybe in the wings.
Al is coming up, man. Al is getting all the final stats together with how the Golden Eagles did in professional baseball.
Well, at his age, we better hurry up and get him on.
Yeah, he'll be on this week.
We hope.
This week. There's a reason he doesn't like you.
He's old, boy.
Southern Miss.
To the top. To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.